When energy dips, your reviving routine deserves more than a quick fix. Reach for Vital Proteins, Collagen, and Protein Shake and Chocolate. With 30 grams of protein and 10 grams of collagen peptides, it helps support healthy hair, skin, nails, and joints in a smooth, ready-to-drink shake. So your afternoon reset actually sets you up for success. Vital Proteins. Stay vital. Visit vitalproteins.com and get started.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Indeed Sponsored Jobs gets you quality candidates when you need them most. Spend less time searching and more time actually interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. When you need the right person to cut through the chaos, this is a job for Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? This is a job for Indeed Sponsored Jobs.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Have you ever been in a building that has so much history to it, that's been around for so long, that you just know it's haunted? Without a doubt, the energy is heavy. There's someone else, there's something else there that is not in other locations of a younger age, if you will. Those places always intrigue me. Ones that come to mind quite often are walking around old downtowns, maybe going into a sports bar or an antique shop. Those are some of my favorites, especially the antique shops. You can see the remnants of what once was, the tin ceilings, maybe where windows once stood, where doorways were once in place, where balconies held the men's department or what have you. Really makes you wonder about all the folks who spent so much time in those locations. And then above a lot of those sits an apartment that was once rented out to families, maybe a couple apartments. Those locations also had many memories in them, maybe even more so, more impactful than the store below. In this story, we hear about a family that moves into one of those above store apartments. It had a life of its own and spirits that likely still live there to this day. Take a listen. In 1944, my family moved into an apartment that no one wanted. The lure of cheap rent was not enough of a draw for even the most desperate. We were more than desperate. We were a family living on the margin of opportunity, money, and sanity. We were working poor with a questionable pedigree. Housing had always been an issue because of finances and other matters of social delicacy. Our last chance was waiting. We had been disappointed before. My parents were shown dismal, cold water flats fit for vermin in industrial slums. Once property owners or real estate agents saw the dark-skinned man with a blonde wife, suddenly there were no vacancies. To get rooms above a store on the avenue would take a miracle. Miracles are heaven-sent, while evil likes to disguise tainted gifts that come with hefty price tags. At a shabby real estate office, there existed a listing with no takers. The rent was a steal at $550 a month. The rent was never raised and stayed that price for 26 years. 8 large rooms above an old saloon. This is a place that, like secrets, where suspect people with poor pocketbooks could live. There was a downstairs apartment in a similar layout, and the saloon had a separate entrance. 8 rooms where my alcoholic older brother could rant and rave away from prying eyes. After all, who would bother calling in a disturbance that occurred in a saloon unless it spilled into the street? Though the so-called family entrance on the side of the building you entered into a dismal Victorian hallway, oddly, the building was supposed to have been built in 1920, but Brooklyn powers that be were known to fudge legal facts here and there. The design of the building seemed more 1880s in style, painted a sickly pale green. The paint was several layers thick on every surface, especially on the ornate stairs and banister. The rooms were wide with tall ceilings, dormant ornate gas chandeliers hung from those ceilings, a butler's pantry, pocket doors, and each bedroom had a closet. There were two ornamental gas fireplaces, one at the front and the other at the back of the apartment. That did not work. A pull-chain toilet and claw foot tub in the bathroom. The bedrooms facing the avenue were sunlit most of the day, while the long central hallway and rest of the bedrooms were seeped in a greasy darkness. The wall at the end of the hallway was oddly bowed to accommodate a closet from the inside bedroom. It was one of many design quirks that were part of the parcel of the place. There were windows and doors that led to brick walls or narrow shafts, boarded up dumbwaiter that we used to hold our trash can, contained a skylight to the roof. One could hear voices coming from that shaft. My parents said it was just the voices of bar patrons. Strangely, when the bar was closed, the cacophony of sound seemed louder somehow. We never heard much noise from the street or the saloon for that matter. The apartment was its own world, kind of a vacuum. Loud crashes and faint scratching noises were heard at all hours, perhaps mice in the walls or rats in the basement knocking over wooden crates and beer barrels. At least that was the sensible explanation. There was no logical explanation for the misty forms that glided down the hall just out of reach or the ice-cold spots that traveled from hallway to stairs. One of my earliest memories was watching from my crib as a wraith made an appearance. She glided into my room with a darkened corner. Just a smoky mist at first, then a shimmering light as she became solid. I remember her face was that of an old woman. She was smiling and held out her arms to me, but just as quickly as she appeared, she vanished as my mother entered the room. As a child, I became accustomed to the strange comings and goings of the apartment. Many times at play, I would chase a rustling skirt or boot heel around the corner, never finding the hide and seeker. Not every ethereal visitor was playful or harmless, though. At the witching hour, the large rooms would seem to grow smaller. The first 14 years of my life were spent in those rooms, and I don't remember even sleeping well at night. At night, in the wee hours, the place took on a demonic feel. The darkness would pitch itself blacker than black and suffocate the dreamer. I knew my tormentors. Two large shadow beings who I called Red Eyes and Green Eyes. On any given night, either one would stalk the hall or invade my room. They would stand and stare at me as I lay paralyzed with fear. They stood floor to ceiling, bigger than a human, silent and stinking of rot. They glowed with their burning eyes. I feared Green Eyes the most. It was a breath stealer. I would squirm under their glare until I could hurl myself out of bed into my parents' room. Once between my parents' bed, I could rest and I was safe. My worst paranormal encounter happened at age 4. I awoke to a strange buzzing sound as if thousands of bees were inside the walls. I got out of bed and made my way down the hall, opened the front door of our apartment, and stood at the edge of the landing. The stairs were bathed in a sour yellow glow from the hall sconce. I looked down the staircase to see a figure gliding up the stairs towards me. It looked like a man wearing a hat with a long overcoat and scarf. As it got closer, I noticed it was wearing some sort of rubber mask, like a red devil mask. The unwanted visitor was now face to face with me. I called out my brother's names and called for my dad, thinking they were playing a game. I looked in the mask holes, but there were no eyes behind them, just emptiness. Couldn't move. My mom grabbed me just as I was about to fall to my death from the top of the stairs, and as she held me tight, I saw a tendril of smoke make its way back down the staircase. This may all have been a nightmare or my active imagination, but the thought of those childhood nights still send a chill through me. We as a family went through some hard times living in that cursed place. Trouble followed us. No one ever wanted to linger in our home. Those that did often said they could not remember when they'd ever felt so helpless. The downstairs tenants did not seem to fare any better either. Death and sorrow were their constant companions too. After a tragic renter left the place, it would remain empty, sometimes for years. The building seemed to feed on sorrow. Any pet that I brought into it never lasted very long. One day the dog, cat, bird, turtle, or fish would be happily playing, only to be found dead the next morning. Doors, cabinets, and faucets would often be found open, and once gas was hissing from the dormant chandeliers. When the gas company worker showed up to turn it off, the shaken mechanic came up from the cellar to say that the pipe was not connected to anything. There could not have been a gas leak. My family left in 1970 when I was 16 because the building had been sold and the new owner wanted to do a full remodel. The spell had been broken. So many years have passed since I lived in that place. It still exists. In its new configuration, there are 4 apartments where only there were once 2. The building has undergone major changes. The old saloon is now a sports bar filled with life from young revelers, and from what I hear, many, many tenants have called that cursed place home, but only for a short while. The rent is no longer $50.50 a month. Evil, after all, comes as a steal with a hefty price tag.
Real Ghost Stories Online.
Want a commercial-free experience of the show with access to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories? Sign up at Apple Podcasts right now and try it for 3 days free. Ghostpodcast.com or Patreon.com/Real Ghost Stories.